Sefer names through Parsha Frameshir for Parshas Vayeshev. We'll be looking at the Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the Rav Yaakov Yosef of Polon. So the Pasuk is the second Pasuk in the Parsha, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Beis. Ela Toldos Yaakov Yosef. It begins to list the lineage of Yaakov, and it starts with Yosef, and obviously it's an apropos title to a Sefer when your name is Yaakov Yosef. So he lived from 1710 to 1784. The Sefer Toldos Yaakov Yosef was first published in 1780. He became a leading disciple, a leading Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. And this Sefer was instrumental in bringing Hasidus to the map. It was the first official Hasidic work ever published. The Baal Shem Tov didn't publish his own Sfarim. He simply taught Talmidim who then published his work. Rav Yaakov Yosef also published Sfarim Ben Porat Yosef, Tzafnas Paneach, Ketonas Pasim. Like the Baal Shem Tov, he followed in the Kabbalah of the Arizal, and much of the teachings are based on that. It's well known that he repeats the phrase, I have heard from my teacher 249 times throughout the Sefer. So this is very, very based in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov. So we'll quote several limudim from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, very instrumental work in Hasidic literature. So the Mishnah in Avos, Perek Vav Mishnah Beis, tells us that each day there's a heavenly voice, a baskel, that calls out to us on a daily basis to repent and do tshuva, return to Hashem. So the Toldos Yosef writes that the Baal Shem Tov used to ask, what's the point in having a baskel that no one can hear? You and I have never officially heard this baskel. So why is the Mishnah telling us that it calls out each day if we don't hear it? So the Baal Shem Tov answered that in Shemayim, where the baskel, where the heavenly voice originates, there are no words, there's no speech. There's only the spiritual realm known as the Olam HaMachshava, the universe of pure thought. So when we say that a baskel is crying out, there's no speech coming from Shemayim. That's a misunderstanding of what that means. What it means is that any thoughts a person has of tshuva, any urges a person gets to return to Hashem, those thoughts and those feelings are not his own. Rather, that is the sound of the baskel. That our thoughts of tshuva, we think we originate them. We do hear that baskel. When we get those urges to return to Hashem, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu subtly sending out signals, telling us, do tshuva, I want you back. Come closer to me. An amazing teaching of the Baal Shem Tov. A second limud. In Parshas Dvarim, Moshe is recalling the journey the Jewish people took throughout the desert, and he recalls the incident with Yisro, where Yisro told Moshe that he can't judge alone, he needs to add judges, and looking back, Moshe actually laments this. He says, Eicha esal levadi, tarchachem, masachem, v'rivchem, how could I carry the trouble of the Jewish people alone, your burdens, your quarrels? And in many shuls, in Parshas Dvarim, we read this pasuk with an Eicha tune. And on the surface, we accept that. It has the word Eicha, of course. But if you think about it, that pasuk is not a sad pasuk. Moshe is lamenting the fact that Yisro gave him good advice and that made judging the people more efficient. Why would that be some type of churban that we want to lean with an Eicha tune? So, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef, he writes in Parshas Dvarim a beautiful insight. He notes that in Parshas Baaloscha, we're told that Eldad and Medad, they spoke prophecy inappropriately. And when Yehoshua tells Moshe about this, he says, to Moshe, Adoni Moshe Kila'im. Moshe, my master, imprison them. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Yud Zayin and Aleph, which explains what Yehoshua is really suggesting. The Gemara says that Yehoshua was advising Moshe, Hatel Aleichem Tzorchei Tzibor, Vehem Kalim Me'aleichem. Appoint them to be in charge of the needs of the Tzibor, and prophecy will cease from them automatically. And Tosos over there in Sanhedrin explains that because they will become so busy, they'll be sad, stressed out, anxious, prophecy will automatically leave them, as the Shechina only rests on a prophet where there's Simcha. So Rav Yaakov Yosef says, now we can understand what the lamentation is of Moshe when he says, Eicha esal levadi, how could I judge alone? Because Moshe understood that all the while he was judging alone, he was so busy, he was so stressed, he was so anxious with the needs of the Tzibor, it was too much for him. Tarchachem, masachem, v'rivchem, the prophecy left him. Shechina doesn't dwell on someone like that. When Moshe said Icha Asal Avadi, he was lamenting the loss of the Shekhinah. Moshe was saying, how could I continue to subject myself to a life of constant stress, sadness, when the result is a pirud, a separation in my relationship with Hashem? An amazing insight from the Tolus Yaakov Yosef. A third limud. The Bach in Or Chaim quotes the Rambam, who says that the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is meant to wake us up from our slumber, to motivate us to do tshuva. And therefore, one who sleeps soon after hearing the shofar is missing the message of the shofar. And the Bach also says that Rosh Hashanah is a time of judgment, where our deeds are investigated in the heavenly courts, and it's not proper to sleep while our fate is on the line. You could be doing mitzvos to help the cause. And in fact, we know the Ramah brings down that it's best not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah. The Bach also notes that sleep connotes laziness, which is not how we want to go into the new year. So the Sefer told us Yaakov Yosef in Parsha Shlach says that this Yerushalmi, which talks about sleeping and having blood on your hands if you sleep in the beginning of the year, it can be interpreted not only to be referring to Rosh Hashanah, but to be referring to the beginning of a person's life. Just as on Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, the early part of one's life is called his Rosh Hashanah, and one who sleeps through his early years by not serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly, he's weakened his Yetzer Tov. The Yetzer Hara has been victorious. The same way the Gemara in Yom Mandaf, Lamed Chesam Abayis, tells us that if a person goes most of his life and he's not sinned, he likely will not sin in the future. So too, if a person sins in his throughout his youth, it's going to be very hard to turn that around. Similarly, the Gemara of Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Tesam Abayis says, when the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Ashrei Ish, praiseworthy is the person, it means praiseworthy is the person who does tshuva while he's still an Ish, still in his younger years. It only gets harder. As the Zohar also darshans the Pasuk of Mipnei Seva Takum, which literally means to stand up for an old person, to mean Mipnei Seva, before you get old, Takum. Get up and do tshuva now. An encouragement that we shouldn't wait until, oh, we'll do it later, we have years. No. In our youth, when we're younger, we still have the energy. Let's do it now. That's another amazing insight from the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. Number four. In Parshas Miketz, when Paro has his dream, he says, he tells Yosef, I was omid, well, when it recounts the dream, Paro says, omid al hayor. He was dreaming what he felt, that he was by the river. But yet, when he tells the Yosef, he says he was omed al sfas hayor, on the bank of the river. So what's the discrepancy? So Rav Yaakov Yosef, as well as Rabbeinu Bachai over here, they say the same shot. When a person dreams, he dreams what he feels, what his true feelings are. And Paro felt like he was the god over the Nile. So omed al hayor, he had bilus over the or. He had this complete control over the Nile. He felt like he was governing it. Because in one's dream, you have thoughts of what you really think about. But when you repeat it to someone else, so then the interplay of personal relationships, sensitivities come into play. Paro was embarrassed to tell Yosef as if he's omid al hayor. That sounds haughty. So he said, omid al svas hayor. So when you repeated it to Yosef, he changed the language because to a person, it would make more sense. It wouldn't sound as extreme if he said it would be al-svas hayor. Number five, Rav Baruch Simon and Imre Baruch points out that we know the psukim tell us that the Jewish people went 3 days in the Midbar without water, and then they came to Marah, and they couldn't drink the waters because they were bitter. So what does that mean? What is the fact that they were without water for 3 days, what does that have to do with the fact that the water that they then tried to drink was bitter? So Tolus Yaakov Yosef says that in Mayim Ela Torah, what is Torah? So they didn't have Torah for 3 days, which is the source of the minog that we lean on Mondays and Thursdays to make sure we don't go 3 days without Torah, but Sibor. So at that point, the water was bitter. What does that mean? Because once you have 3 days without Torah, the same way a person can get physically sick without water, a person can get spiritually sick without Torah. We know Torah is matok yoter midvash. Torah is the sweetest thing. But we can sometimes consume it and feel like it's bitter if we've been away from it for too long. If we're not involved in it, if we're not constantly engaged in it, it can feel bitter if we go too long without it. But if we constantly engage in it, It's the sweetest thing. That's the pshat of the Toldos Yaakov Yosef. And finally, in Parshas Pinchas, Rav Yaakov Yosef tells us, what's pshat in the Rambam when he paskins that there's a mitzvah to hear the truas shofar? The truas shofar. But in Hilchos Shmitah v'Yovel, he says the mitzvah is to blow the shofar. What do you mean the truas shofar? And also at the end of Shofros, the bracha we say is Ki atah shomea kol shofar, umazin trua ve'in do malach. So we talk about hearing the kol shofar and then hearing a trua. So what does that mean? So he explains that for us human beings, if someone serves us our whole lives faithfully and someone rebels and then they just start being nicer to us, you have two people. One person is always loyal to us. One person has rebelled and has since done tshuva, has since apologized. So we obviously would love the first person more because he's always been there for us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the opposite. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Daled, tells us that in the place where Balei Tshuva stand, even Tzadikim cannot stand. The Shla HaKadosh says that a Tzadik is called a shofar and a Balei Tshuva is called a trua. Shmia refers to hearing something from a distance. But tazin, lending an ear, is when you hear something from close. So the bracha at the end of Shofros and Rosh Hashanah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the tzadikim, that's shomea kol shofar. He listens to tzadikim. But umaazin trua, he pays even closer attention to the Baal Tshuva. And if you think that makes no sense, if you think that defies logic, the bracha of Shofros ends, ve'in do malach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rachmanas is unparalleled. It's completely opposite of what a human person would think and feel. And this also explains why the Rambam says that the mitzvah is to hear the trua shofar. As through listening to the sound of the shofar, we can all become Bali Tshuva. And then it will be a trua shofar, which is the most ideal sound, the most sweet sound that HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes to hear. So that's a little bit about Rav Yaakov Yosef Apollon, one of the main Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov, and his classic sefer, Toldos Yaakov Yosef.